Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I believe in miracles, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a miracle we're here. My name is Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the man who can breathe underwater is Pete Donaldson.
It's not a miracle I'm here. I live around the corner.
True enough. Once again, into the ramble myths of... it is wonderful to be here, isn't it, guys?
I think even though you do just live around the corner, it is still, in a way, a miracle you're here. I think that every week.
You've messed it up before.
I've survived another weekend, guys.
You're the way I live my life. You were in the gym once at 5-2, weren't you?
No, that was when we were going live on US radio.
Yeah, so far worse.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, where are you? I went, I just can't at the gym. Pump an iron and that, and yeah. We're on air in about 5 minutes. I went, oh, good.
Yeah, I think you said something like, does 4 o'clock come after 3 o'clock?
Too busy benching, mate.
On my way here, I heard a schoolboy say to a schoolgirl, I'm going to stuff your tie in your mouth and make you eat it. So, and I turned around and gave a little funny look, and he looked at me and went, yeah, nice cuss, wasn't it, bruv? Yeah, nice cuss.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow. He saw a kindred bullying spirit in you.
I love that he saw that as approval.
Mm. So I helped him shove that tie.
No, you didn't.
No. Come on.
What a horrible image. Marcus Speller.
Well, listeners may not know, but we all know he's on remand, so we can't do it.
They still can't keep me down.
He's not allowed on public transport.
No. I am. I use it every day. Unlike old Taxi Donaldson.
Yeah, true.
Still public transport, allowed in the bus lane.
Got you there, wealthy.
It's not really a public transport technically if you've got a chauffeur. I mean, that's not
what it was the Super Classico on the weekend, Boca versus River, the Super
Kaboom.
Classico. Sorry, Jim.
I just said Kaboom.
No, I appreciate
it. Mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kabuki. The ancient Japanese art form.
Boca beat River 4-2 away. Tevez got a brace. Oh, he got a lovely curl, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
About 10 minutes to go. Oh, could be his final Super Classico as he hinted at retiring. There was talk that he might go and play in China for them dollars.
Well, that is retiring, isn't it? It's the same thing, really.
It's a very active retirement.
Yes. Mm. It's basically retirement, but you have a bit of football involved. Don't worry about it.
Indeed.
Just get out there, enjoy
it. We assume, having watched no Chinese football ever.
I'd love to get that gig.
Well, Tevez said previously that he always found it difficult playing in the Superclásico because he couldn't cross the barrier from fan to player, When he says that, I don't think he means literally.
Yeah, like no. Eric Cantona did that time.
Yeah. Tevez has got in trouble before, hasn't he, for doing the chicken dance, I think it is. Is that way around? I think Boca fans called River Plate chickens. And so Tevez has done that chicken dance in front of the fans, and obviously it all went nuts. And I think he got in trouble for inciting violence.
Well, they're a very sensitive bunch, Boca and River fans, with that kind of thing.
There's also great footage of Tevez having a proper fight in training as well over in Argentina.
Was that right?
He got so bad once that...
With a guy who's much bigger than him, that's just swinging punches at him as hard as he can reach. Yeah.
It got so bad, some River players were tear-gassed by Boca fans, including Funes Mori, who's now at... Everton.
Wishes he was still there.
Blimey, O'Reilly. When he thinks about it, it brings a tear to his eye. Because Tevez, you would imagine Tevez, when he finishes playing, will just go straight into the stands with the Boca.
From the pitch.
With a Barra Brava.
Yeah. It would get subbed off for the standing ovation. It would just go straight into the crowd.
Straight in there and get stuck in. Well, if you could go to someone... if you could go to matches with someone or some people from the world of football, who would you choose, Jim? I'm assuming it's not Carlos Tevez.
It's not Carlos Tevez, no. It's Barry Davies.
And
I would pretend to have recently had quite serious eye surgery. So I'd go wearing sunglasses, because I think a little dip in vision is worth it for what I'm going to propose. And I'd say, Barry, so I had a nightmare with the old peepers. You mind telling me what's going on? give me a little running commentary of everything that's happening in the game. No one around me is going to complain, because everyone's just going to be sitting there going, I miss Barry Davies. But I don't have to now, because he's here.
That would be brilliant.
So that's what I would do. I would pretend to be temporarily blind. I mean, which I feel is morally more acceptable than pretending to just generally be blind.
Yeah.
I think a pensioner into coming out of retirement.
He's the only commentator in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, isn't he?
Possibly.
Probably would be, yeah. Yeah, I think he probably would be, yeah.
Because we're selfish.
Not a vintage week for Dean Windass, though.
No, he was declared bankrupt, wasn't he?
Yeah. Sorry about that, Dean.
Luke, what have you got?
I would go for Sir Alex Ferguson, I think.
Really?
I think because he would have such a breadth and wealth and knowledge of the game, he'd obviously be able to point out things that I wasn't seeing and be able to...
if he's at the wine, yeah.
Educate. Well, listen, Pete, and as soon as the half-time whistle goes, let's have some wine.
Yeah, true. He'd look after you.
It's the best of both worlds, really, isn't it? Yeah.
But do you not think, though...
You can see a perceived slight coming from your direction.
I'd obviously fall out of him at some point.
But I was about to say, yeah, and also, that would put you on Roy Keane's hit list.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Aren't we all at some point on there anyway?
Yeah, but I don't think Roy Keane's...
It's an opt-out system with Roy Keane's hit list. It's like the telephone book.
Yeah. I saw an interview, I rewatched it. It was Kevin Kilbane interviewing Roy Keane. I think it's about 2 years old now, and it's just brilliant. Keane is in fine form, and Kilbane is stopping himself from having to have a bit of a chuckle. And he said, what about Sir, you know, would you speak to him? And he said, well, you know, we're bound to cross paths soon enough. And he said, what would you say to Alex Ferguson? And Keane thinks of it and he goes, I'd probably have a go at him. And then he just goes, yeah, why not?
Did you see that show they did on ITV2 with him and Patrick Vieira where they tried to get the best
after Man United? That was actually pretty good,
But it was so funny because when they did all the players and everything and it was actually fairly sort of even-handed. And then when it came to the manager, Patrick Vieira said, Roy, who's the best manager you work with? And he went, Brian Clough.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a good show. To be fair, it's a good shout.
Yeah,
it's fair enough.
It's an incorrect shout.
The beauty of it is the pettiness.
Yeah, yeah, that's
the pettiness
right.
of it is what underpins the whole thing. Yes, he's terrifying. Yes, he likes to run his mouth. Yes, he probably likes to physically assault people. But it's all underpinned by a real lifelong culture of pettiness.
Yeah.
And that's why I like it.
Well, it's a refusal to lose any sort of face, isn't it? I think it's actually way beyond pettiness.
In fact, I'm changing my answer to Roy Keane.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah. I'm changing my answer to Roy Keane. It'd be better.
Yeah.
Better to be at the devil's side and then his path.
Peter.
I'll probably go for Jamie Vardy.
Right.
Because A, he's interesting to look at, and if the match was boring, I could just stare at his weird, craggy features. And also, remember when we did the live show, you told a story from his autobiography where he had a penchant, let's say, for putting Skittles in vodka.
I'll bring the Skittles, you bring the vodka.
Exactly, we'd have a lovely time. He'd probably have a hip flask on him. And he also used to eat like a cheese toast in the morning as well before the match.
An omelette?
No, it was definitely a toast.
And you say ham and cheese omelette.
Ham and cheese omelette, was it?
He still does do this, because he's only talking about from last season, isn't he?
Okay, well,
And he had three Red Bulls.
Yeah, and a lot of pot as well. I just think he's a man who eats and drinks well.
Sorry,
the pot was the night before the game, and he doesn't do that anymore.
Marcus, he eats and drinks well. You're the only one in this room thinking of that as a positive thing.
That's fine living to pee.
Yeah, exactly. All your major colours.
It makes perfect sense, actually.
Yeah. You both got a keen interest in Japanese people.
Yeah, exactly. I like him, he doesn't like him.
You can find a contention there.
You can talk him round.
Oh, what a documentary that would be. Vardy on Japan.
Oh, you're yin to yang.
Vardy wa Nihon desu. Beautiful.
That's wonderful, that is. Okay, Jamie Vardy. I went for Carlo Ancelotti because he's clearly a lovely chap and he would... similar to what you were saying about maybe Alex Ferguson or something, they give you a tactical breakdown what's going on. But I think he's that congenial and he's at Bayern now and I think they've just gone top of the league. That if he gets a healthy lead, I think he might say, do you want to come I'm not going that far. But he'd let you sit on the bench, and if things are going well, I reckon he might even let you make a sub.
And that is the dream.
Yeah. That Who do you want to bring on, subkeeper? Yeah. No, come on. Don't take the piss.
Don't waste this.
Yeah. That's nice. That is nice. I can see that happening.
Well, if you insist, I've got the points.
No, I don't insist. No.
I haven't had the points.
No,
for ages.
I think you should have the points, Marcus.
Points.
A Christmas gift.
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I appreciate that. Monster. Let's go to the Premier League, eh? Bloody hell, Jamie Vardy's back. Leicester remember their champions.
Mm. Yeah.
Flipping Nora.
Guardiola was defensive afterwards, wasn't he? Which is ironic.
Yeah. Hey, there it is. It was incredible. I mean, you thought to yourself, okay, Leicester are struggling, blah, 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 blah. But was it because Leicester were, Manchester City were bombing on? They were playing quite a high line, Peter. Mm. And that's what Leicester want. They're like, this is what we want every week. Yeah.
Can't everyone go back to doing this in every game?
Or maybe a Leicester thinking, OK, everyone, we remember towards the end of last season where we got all the 1-0s, had to get across the line, which of course they did. And then this season they start off and people are aware that they're champions, so they've been a bit cagey. So let's think, I tell you what, we'll lull them all into full sense of security, because you have to remind yourself that Leicester are champions. Mm. Yeah. So for the first half of the season, we'll make everybody forget we're champions. And then they'll start to play and come at us. And then we get them.
Where are you going with this?
I'm saying that they're gonna surge up the table now.
I think there's a certain amount of arrogance about Pep Guardiola. I think he doesn't...
Possibly earned. Coming from a man who's not earned a single eye or of it.
That's something else me and him have got in common.
Peter Schmeichel was doing a bit of punditry recently. He said, what do you think of Pep Guardiola? He went, an arrogant man.
Yeah. I sort of think the big blondies
don't like him.
He doesn't want his teams to defend. The way they want to defend is just by keeping on the ball. But I was doing a little bit of research before the show.
Oh, yeah.
One clean sheet in their last 17 games, Man City. And they want to win the title. And check this out. Joe Asprey on Twitter sent this as a stat. Manchester City's Premier League record when losing at half-time, 185 played... 9 wins, 29 draws, 147 defeats.
To be fair, Guardiola has not been in charge for most of that.
No, but he's the current incumbent. He's the incumbent, so he's got to take some brunt.
Clubs do have a culture of this, though, don't they? And sometimes it takes a manager a long, long time to shift that. And what's really fascinating about this is that they didn't win a 50-50 in the first half hour. That's one of the stats that's been floated around us about how sort of defensively kind of lackluster they were. And it's an odd lack of intensity from him. You know, normally his teams are very good with this. They're just on it. They close things down really quickly, they win the ball back, and they shuffle it about again, and the team can't get near it. But such a fundamental part of his game seems to have disappeared. It's very odd. Well, I mean, he did say last season, didn't he, that tiki-taka is over, so it's not exactly the same style that he was, you know, using at Barcelona, but it's baffling.
Well, especially because he had a big deal after the match of sort of differentiating between tackles and duels. Mm. And he didn't even win a duel through the match, so...
There's the fewest tackles...
Yeah, don't bring it up if that's the case.
fewest tackles in the Premier League this weekend.
It was seven.
Yeah.
Seven tackles?
They're so suspect of the battle, really. And I know that with the fact that they conceded four, I know that a couple of those probably came because they were pushing and trying to chase the game, and they obviously want to win these games, so it leaves themselves a little bit open. Mm. But overall, it's absolutely nowhere near good enough. I mean, the only teams who look like they can defend in the Premier League are Spurs and Chelsea. They're the only two teams who look like they can defend.
Oi, I told you, Guardiola was a mug. Well, that quote about tackles was very strange. It's typical here in England when they use a lot of tackles. I don't train for tackles. What are tackles? You have to win the duels. That's obviously what you were saying, Peter. Really... But normally when you play good, you win a lot of tackles. I mean...
What's he talking about?
He's a bit strange. I mean, I get...
He's trying to claim a fishing analogy, I think. But he didn't quite get there. Because he got fixated on the word tackle.
Yeah, don't we all from time to time?
I know.
Stop saying tackle, Pat. That's what I was saying.
But clearly, his idea to you know, his football philosophy is keep possession. So therefore, you don't have to make a lot of tackles. We obviously get that.
But if you don't have possession, then it becomes very important,
well,
surely.
This is it. And that's what Peter Schmeichel, ex-Manchester United goalkeeper, of course, was saying, that he thinks his way of playing football is best, and he's obviously trying to implement that. Now, it's early days still.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, Pep Guardiola is one of, if not the most highly regarded managers in the world, so people expect him to hit the ground running. Now, it's not like they're having a disaster. You know, they're still up there in the top teams in the league. But it does seem a bit strange that he hasn't adapted as quickly as we thought he might do. Yeah.
Didn't he adapt very quickly and then unadapt?
Everyone got
excited about him hitting the ground running.
They started off strongly, they did.
Well, maybe it's because people saw how they were playing and then thought, okay, well, we'll take other precautions. I mean, Jamie Vardy said, well, we targeted Claudio Bravo.
Yeah.
We closed them down and stopped them trying to play out from the back. And perhaps in other leagues, with his great Barcelona side, they were that good. That Bayern Munich side that he took over, they just won the treble. Mm. They were that good in their domestic leagues. Mm. When he took them over, okay, Barcelona was different because he got a lot rid of a lot of the party boys and so on and so forth. So look, we're not having a go at the man's CV for crying out loud.
Well, you speak for yourself.
but
he didn't have to do a step over stones.
But this is a different league. It's a totally different thing. And he's met his match with English football.
Yeah. By the way, the big question that needed to be answered, which we talked about on Thursday, was around Pep Guardiola's footwear.
Mm.
I did the Twitter poll.
Yes.
For those who haven't seen it, you probably have. But he was wearing a pair of on closer inspection, they're not even proper Converse. I think there might be some sort of like.
Did you not
Sats version?
Did you not see someone get involved and give you pelts for not being able to identify the modern youth footwear of something, some kind of fancy footwear that costs like £1 million?
I don't understand.
So they're like a fancy version of Converse, basically.
Converse is really uncomfortable.
I was about to say
for not wearing them.
I haven't seen that tweet.
Anyone is listening from Converse, I think they're all fine.
What's your size?
Carry on.
Yeah.
What's your size, mouth?
Email me.
Looking
carry on.
Is that worth it? Yeah. You sticking by that one?
Yeah.
Oh, big time.
Anyway, you're right. They're like a £150, £200 version of Converse,
right.
But they don't look anywhere near as good.
We sound so old, don't we?
Anyway, yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Hey, sneakerheads.
Anyway, the poll options were, I like him, he's a dude, or no, embarrassing uncle. And no, embarrassing uncle won with 55% of the votes.
Ooh, again.
The people have spoken.
Again.
The people have spoken. They've been a great divider, as Jim says. It's a close run thing.
Yeah. Well, but if you will do these football referendums.
But I'm just thinking, if he just put a sensible pair of shoes on, would he be getting this much stick?
Well, he might slip over, you know.
True.
To be fair, he only did it once.
No, he's worn them a couple of times in the championship.
May I recommend some Cuban heels?
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Dig them in.
Dig them in.
But great win for Leicester, though. I mean, Jamie Vardy, that. It's there, isn't it? It's not like
Champions League's over. They're like, right, we can try in the league.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I mean, it's not like, but that's the thing with Vardy. It wasn't. He did have a little drought at club level, of course, because he scored for England, but in the league. But it's not like a situation where it was with Alvaro Negredo, where he thought he looks like he's lacking a bit of confidence, and of course. He got the first one, it was a bit of a scuff, and then he took the second one very well a few weeks ago for Middlesbrough. With Vardy, it's there. The chances perhaps just haven't
well, him
come
and,
about.
Him and Slimani have got the makings of a really good partnership. Their styles complement each other pretty well. Mm. And Leicester could have actually had one or two more.
Slimani had
a really good chance for a header, but he looked like he jumped a bit too early, or it was a bit too high for him. But they were carving City open at will at one point.
Well, that's it. Like, this is the side that many people thought would walk to the league. And yet,
I even said that. Yeah. I said that after their start. I was like, if they carry on like this, no one's going to get near them.
Yeah. But to see Leicester just firing at will, and Mahrez with that setup for Vardy's one where he rounded the keeper was just delicious. It did look like Leicester of last year.
The vintage Leicester. The 2016 vintage.
Oh, it was absolutely glorious. But we're going to talk about the Champions League draw, of course, after this.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Hello, everybody. The Champions League draw has been made. Leicester against Sevilla. I think that's quite a nice one for Leicester because, okay, they've just beaten Manchester City 4-2, but I was a little bit concerned with Leicester. I thought if their poor form
doesn't get a big one, Yeah, if they get a big one now, that might just be the end. And
exactly. Ugh. Whereas if you get, say, I don't know, by Leverkusen, for example. Yeah, like it's a big tie or anything, but you want to maybe a little bit more glamorous. And I thought Sevilla's just, it's quite a nice one.
Nice little sweet spot.
It's southern Spain, it's a beautiful city.
They're a good European side.
They're a good European
side.
They're
always clear.
Well, they're the, probably, it's safe to say if you don't know who the Europa League champions are, it's probably Sevilla. Yeah. Right? Okay, so it's a lovely little draw, that. But it's winnable.
Would you fancy him going over a few days early just to enjoy the sunshine?
Oh, I think so.
A few sangrias.
Yeah. On the veranda.
Skittles and sangria.
Skittles, yeah.
I'm old enough to remember the Leicester squad going to La Manga. With very, very difficult repercussions.
Differing results.
So, fingers crossed they won't go down that road again.
Indeed. But as sure as the day is long, Arsenal get Bayern Munich.
Yeah, bring it on.
I love the fact...
You daft little Uber melts.
I love the fact that PSG got Barcelona.
I know.
They were both waiting for Arsenal.
I know. It's like fate had it stitched up. Like, whatever had happened, we'd have got one of them. But bring it on. If you don't want to get embarrassed by one of the big dogs, Bayern, then win your group. Idiots.
I actually...
It's embarrassing for them.
And I said this on international television. I think Arsenal could and should take Bayern this time.
Well, a lot of people are saying, you know, it is a little bit different this time around. It's a good time to play them. Don't play them now, though, do we? Play them in February.
No, no, but I just think, you know, and if I get my way, I'll be on the bench making subs for Bayern.
So if that happens, help us out. Do bring that subkeeper on.
It will all be fine.
Man City fans, a little bit of arrogance about Monaco. Monaco, I know
Arsenal have experienced that themselves.
They're playing. They're playing well at the moment. I know, as you said, the game isn't until February, but they're in good form.
Monaco, they top their group, of course, and in league this season.
They're second, aren't they?
They're second, just behind Nice. They're ahead of Paris Saint-Germain in 17 Ligue 1 matches. 53 goals, which the next best is Nice and PSG in first and third, which is 32.
That's incredible.
Yeah. You'll have to be at their defensive best to keep them out.
So, Stones, Bravo, who are they going to target?
Guardiola's not
such
gonna,
a plethora of options.
Guardiola's not going to sleep a wink between now and February.
I'll tell you what, yeah, that's not a good one, really. I mean, obviously, for Man City, it could have been a lot worse, but I don't know. A Benfica versus Dortmund, that's a nice one.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Nice Champions
that'll
League.
Have goals in it.
Nice Champions League ring to it, that one. But yeah, interesting. And in the Europa League, Manchester United got San Etienne, so Florentin Pogba plays his brother Paul.
That's right, yeah. That's the subtext there.
Indeed. That's all you need to know. Ghent got Spurs. They're off to Wembley.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. So they've got a chance. Two of the bigger ties in that round, Villarreal versus Roma. That's delish. Yeah. That'd have been Champions League not that long ago, of course. And München Gladbach versus Fiorentina, which I quite liked.
That's nice too.
Yes, Jim. Yes. But Manchester United, of course, they beat Spurs 1-0.
Mkhitaryan got a goal, which is he's been playing a lot better recently. Yeah, like he's in good nick.
Sharp uptake in form, isn't it?
And Wanyama missed a chance. I mean, apparently, it might have been you saying this, Marcus, to me earlier. That,
I read this.
The main art players thought they heard a whistle, so they all stopped.
Yeah.
And then Wanyama had it on a plate, didn't he? But he absolutely fluffed his lines.
Well, he did. Clearly, he didn't hear a whistle, so he's got no excuse.
That's Man United's first win at Old Trafford in the Premier League since September. that is the sort of statistic that in the 90s just did not exist.
The theatre of dreams.
Yeah. It's absolutely crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, the Mkhitaryan goal was interesting because obviously he scored, so you can't criticise him for that. But like if he had like sideways passed it to Zlatan or squared it as it's called, that's a tap in for him. And you think like Mkhitaryan clearly is a man who's trying to force his own confidence through. He's got the options though. He's like, do I pass to Zlatan or do I back myself and just smash this in? And he chose to back himself. And it's nice to see him like just playing with some confidence because we heard he'd had some problems in settling in and whatnot, and he just did not look like a player with the confidence of the player that we know he is. And yeah, it was good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the only Armenian to have played in the Premier League.
Yeah, I like that.
Which is quite nice.
I like the stat. Zlatan has scored, I guess it's 34 in 35 December fixtures.
Really?
He's not looking for time off over Christmas.
No, he likes Christmas.
Oh, by the way, people got in touch about that. Apparently Kevin Nolan is the undisputed king of that. Apparently Kevin Nolan...
Yeah, missed, away at Liverpool.
His dance, a turkey dance.
Apparently he missed five Christmases in a row.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, I didn't realise it was that.
Yeah. Missed.
Yeah, five in a row.
Someone's got a house, Andy Carroll.
Family man. He's a family man.
Sounds like he didn't miss Christmas after all. He was there.
Daddy, they said you've got a game on Boxing Day.
Don't worry about that.
What, are you at home? Don't know. I haven't even checked.
Jose Mourinho looks like he's got a bit of his swagger back in his stride.
Yeah, but can easily be got rid of, can't it? I mean, this time next week, see if that's still the case.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, it was interesting because Mourinho was having a little bit of a laugh and a joke and he looked more relaxed in the press. Now, that's obviously because they've won the game. But it was a good win. I mean, I did find it funny before the match where he was talking up Spurs as the best side in the league, which is sort of a dig.
Well, I still think, I might be alone in this, but I still think that Spurs looked like a much more coherent team in that game. I mean, United had chances.
They weren't at their best, though, were they? I mean, that was the problem.
But the thing, when you watch Spurs, and I've said this before, I know they've not been quite at the races this season. They've had a bit of a difficult start in terms of being consistent and scoring enough goals and all the rest of it. But I still do think there's a feeling that when you watch Spurs play, you know what you're going to get. I mean, it may not always click, and because that's just
a Dele Alli yellow card.
but you do always get. But with United, I still don't think that they've got any sort of coherence.
No, I agree with you.
Because if you look at the some of the players that were playing for United, I mean, I was thinking to myself, because I watched the game, Carrick, Mkhitaryan, and whoever else, Pogba in midfield. Mm-hmm. It's a great midfield. That's ideal. Absolutely ideal. Yeah. But they still don't look fluent. They don't look fluent at all.
Well, you're right. Alan Shearer said something on Match of the Day that the teams with the best spines and the most recognisable spines do well. And he said Chelsea and Arsenal. But I actually think Spurs have got a good spine. You know, there's a spine that you would know what's happening there. I mean, Spurs are, they're 10 points off the top of the league, so...
It's just reminded me of a quote that I saw Liam Toomey, he's a friend of the Ramble, tweet. He said, my favourite Match of the Day 2 quote last night came from Phil Neville. Sir Alex was known for rotating, but he never rotated his spine.
and nor should he. No. Or anyone, for that matter.
Stand up straight.
Exactly. incredible. Antonio Valencia was named Manchester United Player of the Month. Did we see this? His award apparently looks very, very similar to a trophy that can be bought online for £12.99.
Yeah, look, if you're going to buy a Paul Pogba, you've got to make savings elsewhere, haven't you?
Cut your cloth accordingly. Yeah.
I thought that was a bit...
It's very weird.
What, who's awarded it him? The United or the Premier League?
No, it's not Premier League.
Okay, the club.
The club.
Yeah. It's essentially a bit of a two-bit award anyway, isn't it? I mean, it's weird, isn't it? You're not going to look back on your career, I presume, and go, oh, yeah, I won, Player of the Month, November 2016. No one's going to
club player. I'm sure it's nice to get a bit of recognition from your own fans, but you're right, it doesn't...
You'd rather have a bottle of wine or something. You'd rather have another terrible trophy to stick in that horrendously gaudy trophy room you've got in your massive house.
This is why he's got that trophy room and you don't.
I'd have the wine. That's what I'm saying.
Right, and you've made your choice. And he's made his. And you find yourselves where you are.
But not being a professional footballer was not my choice.
unlike Marouane Fellaini.
No, yeah, quite.
He was booed when warming up on the sidelines, which is poor, isn't it?
It's pretty loud as well. I mean, I don't, maybe it's just that the microphones were near the particularly booey fans, but when I heard about this, I thought
it's
bound to be a sort of minority. But it was... Ugh. Yeah, poor old Fellaini.
On the other hand, have you seen him play?
He's not that bad, though, right?
Speaking of the Spurs spine, I mean, Lloris... Yep. Alderweireld, Dembele and Kane. Apparently at Old Trafford at the weekend, it's the first time they've even played together this season.
Oh wow. Yeah.
So it's worth pointing out they've still got a bit of improvement to go because they've got players out and all that other stuff. So it is worth mentioning. And I still maintain, regardless of the result, they are a team to be backing over United at the moment, because United are all over the place.
Indeed they are. But Chelsea are top. Quite handsomely. 9 wins.
Well, they are the best team.
9 league wins in a row. Pulis was close to spoiling that winning run, wasn't he?
But that is one of those wins people talk about, like just grinding out a 1-0 when you absolutely have to. It's champions form, that.
I love that Diego Costa goal, because it's one of those ones where you're just... Chelsea are pushing and pushing and you're waiting to pounce, and then as soon as Gareth McCauley made that mistake, it's like something out of an Attenborough documentary. The little animal, he's taken a wrong turning, or he's stumbled, and bang! The ball constrictor's there.
The wiggly on your face at the thought of a dying animal.
Well, it was more of a number 9 getting the better of a defender.
Well, what I saw.
The weakest... The weakest antelope in the herd.
Now you're talking.
Getting picked off.
But the way Costa was...
We can all agree is Gareth McCauley.
Marcus enjoying evolution, ironically.
Right, that's naughty. That's very naughty, and you know it is. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean to say I don't believe in evolution.
I know, I'm just saying.
I want the listeners to know.
Do you want me to wrestle this back to Diego Costa? Because I've got what I think is quite an interesting thing to say about
And him. I hope you enjoy celebrating Christmas this year.
I will.
But I was at Marcus Church.
God bless him, man.
I went to Marcus Church yesterday.
We haven't got time for that now, Pete.
For a nativity thing.
You weren't invited, and you've been told not to return.
He was invited.
He was invited. Everyone's invited.
I'd love
yeah. of it.
He won't be again. Welcome back in God's house.
I had loads of mulled wine and I got mince pie on my hands and I was shaking everyone's hands and getting a sticky on them.
To be fair,
I was well behaved.
Worst guest than Alan Pardew when he turned up at church. The only reason why Pete came.
I wanted to see if he was there.
Yeah.
Diego Costa.
What a goal it was. What a fin.
The reason I'm so impressed with Diego Costa at the moment is because he is apparently, well, not apparently, he is, had the most cards shown for fouls on him this season.
Mm.
Nine cards shown for fouls on Diego Costa. He's obviously being targeted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's
treading that line very, very nicely, and he's not having any sort of disciplinary problems at the moment, and he is scoring goals.
I remember the start of the season, though, it was a real problem, and then it was like, if he sorts his head out, he's going to be brilliant,
but
he did.
All kudos to, well, we assume it's Conte that's doing this, because Conte, you know, the temperament he is, you probably need someone to out-mental, you know, Diego Costa.
Yeah.
And we've said that before on the show, and the way Costa, that's a very interesting stat. You look at the way Gareth McCauley was trying to haul him down.
Yeah.
Costa was like a tank. Once he got that ball, one thing in his mind, and Gareth McCauley's not a mug, you know, he's not a weakling, is he?
No.
Trying to wrestle him off, Costa burst through, and what a finish.
We did just describe him as the weakest antelope, but he's not really.
No, I didn't, you did.
He's not even an antelope. Instance.
He's a human man.
He's a man.
Yeah. I think maybe what Conte has done is he's made Costa realise what an attribute his strength is, and that might sound silly, but you know he is better off, you know, just steaming through because he has the ability to than he is, you know, just diving,
falling over, or elbowing someone in the head or something. Yeah.
And from a personal point of view, I do prefer it when he does that.
But I'm sure it'll be back.
Yeah.
I mean, we should say West Brom, they were unlucky. They played very well, nearly shut Chelsea out. Of course, they're up in eighth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 20 points. Puel's doing a great job. Chelsea could face a points deduction, though, for the bust up with Man City.
Is that like I read that? Is that likely?
Ain't going to happen.
It's not because of that. It's because of all the naughty incidents they've been involved with fairly recently. But it's all before Conte came.
Involving Diego Costa.
All the racism in the 80s. Not that, no.
There'd be points deduction everywhere.
Racism in the 80s when no one went to go and watch him.
Yeah. Well, it was. I think it's because of Mourinho's misdemeanours at Chelsea. So it would be quite funny that his legacy, or the sort of final end of his legacy.
Leave a little stink bomb.
Yeah, leave a little present for the next guy.
Stitch him up.
Yeah.
That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
Unbelievable.
Like a haunting.
Yeah.
But by a man who's still alive.
But they got the win. Hull drew 3-3 with Palace.
That's a great game.
Snodgrass, naughty.
He was on a yellow card when he died for that pen as well. So brazen.
Yeah. Well, he did the old, I thought I was going to be fouled, so I thought I'd better throw myself on the ground.
Come on.
Can he not get retrospective action for that?
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. But the thing is,
the ref had noticed that he... No.
They should do
no.
that.
Because the ref gave a penalty because he thought he dived, so he didn't notice it.
No, he thought it was a foul. He didn't think he dived.
That's what I meant. So you can't retrospectively.
I think we all agree, though, there should be retrospective punishment of diving, right? Regardless of the various quirks of the law.
It was like when David Beckham admitted that he was got sending off.
He got
a yellow card to get suspended, didn't he? So he got in trouble for that, didn't he?
I think you could probably introduce some sort of fine system, but I don't think you can't just start sticking retroactive action in.
I thought that was a bid for a Christmas day off at all.
The problem is with diving is one man's dive is another man's penalty.
Yeah,
it's not a black and white issue.
But there should be the option for the people looking at it to say this is inconclusive, so we can't take any action. But sometimes it's clear.
Commentator on the when I saw it said. When Snodgrass took the penalty, so maybe a piece of fortune for the penalty. It wasn't a piece of fortune, was it? He dived.
He's a gamesmanship.
Yeah, he basically cheated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't like the referee made a mistake because the guy cheated.
Yeah. Well, Snodgrass said that he was anticipating the foul, wasn't he?
Licking his lips, he was.
Which is strange, because if you're anticipating a foul, some players do jump over tackles.
Yeah, well, that's what he said.
But he didn't, though. He looked as though he would have quite happily gone into Scott Dan's legs, which is fine. It's Scott Dan. But Scott Dan cleverly pulled his...
He's lying.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't on
Twitter. Jimmy Neal.
Yeah.
Zaha scored a beauty there.
That was my goal of the weekend, that.
It was brilliant.
I prefer that to Hendrix's goal.
I prefer the Jeff Hendrick experience.
No, because I think Hendrick got the ball and he just smashed it in.
Hendrick's
reminded me of Letizia, and that's why you don't like it.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Zaha had so much
that's
to
naughty.
Do, and it went so acute with his angle.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like it was difficult to see how he'd even done it.
True. But I like the Matt Letizia nature of Hendrick.
If he carries on like this, Jeff Hendrick is looking at getting a nomination for PFA Player of the Year. Don't you think, Marcus?
Well, no, I don't, because Victor Moses has got his hands all over that.
Absolute shoo-in.
Well, who is at the moment? It's got a bit. Well, actually, Diego Costa.
I also like this. Pardew was making a bit of play by saying that only Arsenal and Man City have scored more goals on the road than Palace this season, which is true. Unfortunately, Palace have conceded 19 as well on the road, which is the worst in the league. So, score as many as you like, Alan, but if you concede three more than you've scored, you're still having a bit of a stinker.
Let me have a think about that. When were they scored?
Exactly. We have not got time for that okay. now.
I love that.
The rules.
I love that. Man City have got twice as many points as Palace.
Yeah.
Arsenal even more, you know. But it was a good game, though. Fraser Campbell, he always pops up again
now and
then, doesn't he?
I like it with Pards because he gets so specific. He just goes, well, if you look at goals scored specifically in the 68th minute, we've got more than anyone.
Uh-huh.
You're in the relegation zone.
You know, and last I looked, England never score goals in the 68th minute. So, just saying, I'm a solution there.
I'm available.
Yeah.
Can't talk yourself out of the relegation zone.
No.
It doesn't happen.
You'll dance your way out.
Graph yourself.
Win, lose or bust.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see where we are at the end of the season.
You're right about Fraser Campbell, though. It's almost as if he's an option from every bench.
Yeah.
I mean, just anyone could call him on at any one point.
It's hard to know, keep up with who he's playing for sure. Because not only does he move a lot, he never features. Mm. He never starts.
But he's quite a good player.
Mm.
We don't think?
Well, he seems to be. We just don't see him very much.
True, yeah, maybe.
I don't think anyone's got any way of knowing.
Uh-huh. I did like Diomande and Livermore's goals.
Mm.
There were some lovely. I mean, there were some great goals in that game. It was full of action.
But is it? I think it's Burnley. Obviously, their home form is what's going to keep them in the league if anything does. Not, and I said earlier in the season, I think it probably will. But I think they've got 17 points at the moment. And 16 of those have come at home.
And this is Burnley?
Yeah, Burnley.
We've moved on.
Yeah, I'm just talking about Burnley.
That's fine, yeah.
I just want to go back to it, mate, that's all right.
That's fine, we'll move on to it.
Yeah.
So
sometimes I put stats in here, and if I don't get a chance to put them in, I just put them in whenever
no,
I want.
No, you're grand, because it was a good win for Burnley, of course. And it was the Eddie Howe derby.
Well, sort of.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, and I also remembered I've got something else to say about Joey Barton.
Well, that's relevant because we're talking about Burnley.
Exactly.
You've done the work. It's a sentence out of the way. Go for it.
Joey Barton said on 5 Live this week about his career at Rangers.
Mm.
When I got up there, I realised that they'd build me as some sort of Neymar or Messi type character.
Yeah.
Now, people
see that. Pete, did you see it?
I did see that.
Yeah.
I think the hushed silence in the studio told its own tale, I think. It's kind of like, oh.
I mean, I know people say Scottish football is behind, but it's not. You know,
no.
In the flipping medieval time.
No. They probably would have had some sort of awareness about who Joey Barton was when they signed him. The cynic among us might even think that that's why they signed him in the first place, knowing what he was like. But he billed himself as a Neymar / Messi type character. For Joey, it's not enough just to be Neymar or Messi.
Yeah.
He has to be both. He has to be both.
Uh-huh.
He's not even / to be fair.
He doesn't even play in those positions.
No, exactly.
Like if he went, oh, they build me like a Sergio Busquets
That's
or something.
What's so good.
Well, this is what he's complaining about, though, isn't it? God, they're expecting Neymar and Messi.
Yeah.
I'm more like Busquets.
Hard working Joey. And if they only knew that. I thought Boyd scored a nice one for Burnley. He said that teams don't like coming to Burnley. Which is true because of the home form and apparently the changing rooms are small and basic.
I really like Boyd. I think he's a great player. I think he's a really, really hard working player as well. And that goal he scored was a beauty.
Mm. I love that he's persistent with the long hair.
I do too. If I was going to compare Joey Barton to a player, I would say he's a 50-year-old Graham Souness.
Right. Okay.
He's exactly the sort of player Souness was.
Yeah.
But obviously nowhere near in the same league.
Barton's good on the ball, obviously, but Souness was particularly good on the ball.
Yeah. He's like a poor man Souness.
50-year-old. Oh, yeah, 50-year-old. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, thanks, mate.
I
think that's fair.
He got there in the end.
Indeed, I did. Speaking of angry men, let's go to the Championship. Cardiff drew 1-1 with Ipswich. Sol Bamba.
Lol Bamba. That's unbelievable.
I had an absolute brain fart because my brain couldn't process that Neil Warnock is now Cardiff manager.
Mm.
I was thinking, I'm pretty sure Sol Bamba doesn't play for QPR. Because obviously they've got Ian Holloway and those two men are completely interchangeable.
Yeah.
So it was like, what's happening here? Mm. I know what he's done. No, why is everyone getting so worked up about Sol Bamba? Is it because he's ripped the space-time continuum and now managers are managing clubs I'm not even aware of?
If he could have got his pants around its neck, he would have done.
He would have done.
He was properly having a go at Warnock, wasn't he? He shoved him up.
Normally he's a lovely lad.
He's a lovely lad.
He's like disappointed with himself there.
It was like you said on our WhatsApp little conversation, it wasn't as bad as...
Did I, yeah, I,
when And when it first happened, it's like, oh my God. And thank you to Kelly for sorting us out some aftermath footage.
But I remember when players used to punch each other. Yeah. You know what I mean, it wasn't anywhere near.
We used to punch each other.
Yeah. Come on, that was never like a regular thing.
I know, but
it was a lot more regular. I can't remember last time somebody even swung at anyone.
Didn't it happen last week?
Yeah, it did happen last week.
Did it?
Championship, wasn't it?
And then I forget who it was in the lower leagues got the longest ban in the history.
All right, in top flight football.
Yeah, it was.
All right.
Okay. Oh no, top flight
amateurs that specifically make you right. Is that what you're saying?
Sol Bamba doesn't play in the top flight.
I heard he was at Burnley.
This is Pete's show. Open question. Yeah, sort of interested in that. Premier League a little bit. Newcastle, yeah, asleep. Emails.
There's not even any emails on a Monday.
No, exactly.
Right, we're going for a break.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Do not forget that the preview show, sponsored by Bet365, is out this Friday. What was our bet of the week last week?
It was a 1-1 draw with Harry Kane to score any time at Man United Spurs. It was very close.
Stupid Kane.
Very close, yeah, it's a shame.
He'd never scored against Man United, had he?
It's really big odds as well.
Hasn't.
Yeah. Really big odds.
Let's move on to League One then. MK Dons 1, AFC Wimbledon 0, the Dons derby goes to Milton Keynes.
Many AFC Wimbledon fans didn't even travel. Didn't want to acknowledge.
Didn't
want to acknowledge the existence of MK Dons.
That was MK Dons' first home league win since the 5th of March.
Yeah, they've had trouble. They fired the manager recently. They hired the ex-Hearts manager, Robbie Nielsen, didn't they?
Robbie Nielsen, yeah. Immediate impact.
From
Mr. Nielsen. And his replacement in Edinburgh, Ian Cathra, didn't start too well. Hearts lost 2-0 to Rangers.
Never heard of him.
No. Never heard of either.
He's stirred up some kind of hornet's nest. A lot of people north of the Bod really don't like the fact that he's never played the game, etc, etc.
He's quite young. He's 30, is he?
He's quite young, but he's studied under a lot of very interesting people.
At Newcastle.
Rafa in two different countries.
Yeah. To be fair,
didn't Rafa get relegated last season?
Yeah, but for a guy who's
one heart,
for a guy who's quite young and untested, and this isn't the Bundesliga, to go up there and to manage one of the biggest clubs in Britain, to just go in there, people are a little bit angry. This is like when Ray Wilkins was 14, he walked straight into the Hibs team.
Not the border. That's a bit of a carnival anyway, Marcus.
Oh.
I'm saying.
Where's that voice come from?
I don't know.
Do you think that
my puppet
is going to protect you?
People can't see your puppet. Yeah. And anyway,
thank
put it away.
Yeah.
I'm like people who kind of don't want to say things. Right, just pretend that a puppet says it.
Yeah.
No one does that.
psychopath.
Nina Conti does.
I'm Nina Conti!
She does it very well.
Nina Conti's not doing that in her actual life, though, is she? No. You can't keep doing that.
That we know of, Jim.
No.
That we know
you
of.
You don't know.
He's not even got a sock on his hand, so I don't know where. Yeah. I've got some League One chat.
Please.
Bury have lost 11 games straight.
Really?
Yeah.
And they've got Neil Warnock as their manager as well.
Yeah, that's right. Neil Warnock's spreading himself too thin. Yeah.
We don't like banging him in
off the bench.
That is worthy of a mention as it is, of course. In that time, they've conceded 31 goals.
I'm going to need more.
Well, within that run, Pete,
right.
They found time to travel down to AFC Wimbledon, lose 5-0 in the FA Cup first round, stay down there, a few days later, played him again in the league, lost 5-1.
Yes, that's right, I remember that.
Worth a mention, I thought that was worth a mention.
That's lovely, that.
Three days, one trip to Wimbledon. It's like a trailer for a terrible film. One trip to Wimbledon, 3 days, 10 goals conceded. See you later.
I like the fact that the manager might have said, he didn't say this, but he should have said afterwards, well, we didn't concede any more. And we got one.
And we scored one. It's an improvement.
We're narrowing the gap.
It's a platform.
It's a platform, of course it is. Basingstoke Town in the Southern League, they were put on sale on eBay for 99 pence.
Yeah, this is such a weird sort of Partridge-style publicity stunt, isn't
it?
Yeah, well, whoever's originally done that.
It was up there for a little while, a good few days, and then the offer was taken down with 3 days of the bidding left, and then the club was put back again on sale for the much higher price of £65,000... £65,900.
You should have done the advert.
You're right, Luke. What's up with him?
Why did Luke find that so funny?
I have no idea.
£65,900. It was amazing. That's what I found it funny.
It's like Mark's at a pig market, isn't it?
It's a good joke. You didn't fucking bid on it.
Well, it was a misguided publicity stunt by
buy it now.
The only reason Pete didn't buy it is because it wasn't two available.
Very true. Oh, yeah, you could have had a football club.
That is a terrifying thought.
Well, a former director and fan who does not own the club and is not into a position to sell it, according to the board there, was trying to sell it
good.
On eBay.
That's good.
But it's a plan B now.
How can eBay be so successful when people can do that? Doesn't even own it, hasn't got the right to sell it, sells it anyway, makes the national press.
You're not allowed to sell blood on eBay.
No.
I've heard.
Why do you know that?
Yeah, good. Move on. Everyone move on.
Shall we sell Man United?
By the way, there were 8 red cards across League 1 and 2 this weekend. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, well, speaking of red cards, we go to Spain. It's Sergio Ramos with another last-gasp goal. He didn't get sent off. Sending offs and headers, like we said, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. They were 2-1 down with 5 minutes left. The equaliser was the most fortuitous header attempt off the shoulder into the corner I've ever seen.
It's from Mariano, the young player that scored in their cup rout a couple of weeks ago. He looks very good, though. Good to see him get a goal. He was very, very, very pleased.
And Ramos just wasn't being marked again in the last minute of the game.
I mean, there are a few players in the world you should mark more than Sergio Ramos
in that minute.
In the last minute of a game in a corner.
It always pops up.
On a corner.
Yeah. I mean, Deportivo went 2-1 up very, very quickly, and then, as you say, it came back. But the Madrid are now 35 matches unbeaten.
The Madrid.
The Madrids. 35 matches unbeaten is a new club record from the one set in the late 80s. I tell you what, when that Ramos got, I've never seen Zidane look so ecstatic. Smiling away. We saw his teeth.
He's sort of guy who doesn't sort of bear his emotions too often.
Like bears his inner thigh.
Like Pete.
When his trousers explode.
Oh, yeah, that happened. But he didn't look outwardly annoyed about that, really.
No, he had like a spin.
Quite emotional when he nutted Materazzi.
But even then he wasn't. No,
I guess so.
It was quite businesslike.
Cold and calculated.
But I remember actually, when he headbutted Materazzi and walked off, he had exactly the same expression on his face he had when he walked on the pitch. You're right.
And when he scored those goals in the World Cup final.
It does seem odd to see him smiling so broadly.
But it's nice, though.
It's okay.
I like it.
That Madrid side, though, perhaps they're not a vintage Madrid side in terms of personnel and maybe even playing style, but the spirit and determination they have.
I don't know. That's a hell of a team they've got there.
Of course it is.
They've got balance, haven't they?
Yeah, but I'm comparing them to other Real Madrid teams.
But maybe they've got the sort of factor that they needed, which is grit and determination and all that sort of stuff. It's really given them a lift.
Well, isn't that what modern football is?
Benzema in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I suppose if you line them all up.
I suppose if you look at their actual players.
Well, No, but I wouldn't. I'm not sure if this would go down as a vintage Madrid. I don't
they're
know.
Not as they're not as showy as they have been in the past.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
But I think.
But they've still got. Yeah, they've got a handful of some of the world's best players. So yeah.
Wait, they're no gawky boys, mate.
I would argue. In Serie A, it was the Turin derby. Higuain got the better of Joe Hart, although Joe did try.
I didn't see this, but I heard Hart made some good saves.
He did make some good saves. He was very unlucky with the third. Andrea Belotti scored for Torino, one of the best young talents in Italy.
Yeah, highly rated, very highly
Eyes
rated.
Eyes on him.
They just lost it when they went 1-0 up. It's like they forgot they still had to play the rest of the match.
What about this? Let's go to America, where in the MLS Cup final, Seattle Sounders, they beat Toronto FC on penalties. Sounders didn't register one shot on target throughout the 129 minutes of play.
And I saw all the ratings for Sounders throughout the season, like shots on target, average possession, and they're not like anywhere near first for any of them.
Yeah, Toronto, you see the highlights, it's all Toronto. Right. How they didn't win it. I mean, the keeper made a great save, Altidore's unlucky in Giovinco, but Sounders have won
Got their name on the trophy.
They've got their name on the trophy.
Love it.
David Villa's got his name on the most valuable player award of the season, too. Mm. Not Bradley.
How much that cost? Probably more than 15.
Where's Bradders?
$12.99, Jim.
I know. Eh? Before we go to highlights of the week, this from Brazil. We mentioned, of course, Chapecoense and the awful business with their playing crest. They've been fined just over £28,000 for failing to fulfil their final league fixture of the season.
That cannot be true.
That's true.
That is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard.
Surely. Yeah, I mean, 19 of their first team players died on the plane crash, of course. The three survivors are hardly in a flipping physical, let alone emotional state to play. Atletico Mineiro, who they were facing in that fixture, they've been fined because they agreed not to play it as well.
Is that not just an administrative kind of thing that has to be done legally? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that they could bend the rules.
Contractually. Yeah.
Well, I would say that, but the Brazilian FA head is Marco Polo Del Nero, who is a bit of a what's-it, I would say.
But he's not... Even he is going to understand that.
No,
preposterous situation.
If you've ever watched any or listened to any kind of Andrew Jennings stuff, you'll know that Del Nero is among the kind of...
he's on his list.
João Havelange types of this world.
One of the bad men.
Yes.
Is he in your naughty man bin?
He's in my naughty man bin, and Andrew Jennings is after him.
Yeah.
But this guy told Chapecoense to fulfil their final league game. And the acting president, Ivan Tozzo, said, I told him we don't have 11 players. And he said, yes, you do. Reserves. Injured players. Use them. Make up the rest with kids.
What? That's crazy.
Injured players.
I watched that situation with interest because something's going to come out of that, surely.
That's what I'm with. Didn't Torino field youth team players, though? Because they had, say, it's like three or four.
What? Gran Torino?
Three or four matches when they had their crash.
What, in the 50s?
Mm.
Oh, I can't remember.
Fairly certain that happened.
Yeah, but dearie me. But it's just ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Let's go to the highlights of the week with Luke.
Let's try and bring it back around to something positive, shall we, with this portion of the show.
Go on, then.
Not always possible with the highlights of the week.
No. Simon Merrifield. I'll let you be the judge, Pete. Simon Merrifield's been in touch. He says, my highlight of the week was hearing an advert for crystals on the local radio station while at work.
Wow.
I genuinely shushed a co-worker so I could hear more about their Christmas party offers.
All I'm saying is, guys, we've got the Christmas meal this Saturday.
Simon goes on to
not... And Ubers are cheap.
Simon goes on to not even reveal what those offers were. Simon, I implore you to get back in touch and finish what you've started.
We'll find out on Saturday, inevitably, now that Pete's mentioned it.
Yeah.
Martin Kershaw says, Gary Lineker nicked and tweeted the Rambles gag about Tony Pulis needing to organise his legal defence. Lineker's a rambler. Unconfirmed. Unconfirmed.
Doubtful.
Chris Williams has been in touch as well. Hello to you, Chris. He said something we mentioned earlier about Kevin Nolan. He said, I saw a stat that Kevin Nolan was banned for 5 consecutive Christmas and New Year's games between 2009 and 2013, reminding me of the Ramble talk on the topic. I asked my mate, who's an ex-pro for Man City and Blackburn, if there's a culture of getting booked to avoid working Christmas for footballers while we're in the pub, and he said, of course there is. Conspiracy confirmed.
Wow.
Not really confirmed, because that could be anyone. I mean, you could have just completely made that up, Chris, but it's still nice for you to get in touch. Connor Gillis says, Michael Oliver, referee with tram lines in his hair.
Yeah.
I saw what? That. I didn't see this.
No.
He doesn't look like the type, Michael Oliver. He does not look like the type.
He looks like he's been on a stag do and someone's done it. He's fallen asleep.
I mean, if Clattenburg popped up with that, you go, okay, that's obviously what sort of thing he would do. Yeah.
Klatt did a Cristiano Ronaldo pose, didn't he, when it was one of the Liverpool players?
It was the Dimitri Payet free kick, wasn't it? West Ham against Liverpool. Yeah, yeah. He's doing the Cristiano Ronaldo pose behind the ball. It's brilliant.
Magical.
It's fantastic.
We're two seasons away from him taking that free kick.
Well, we are. Well, I've got here Matthew Joins. Hello to you, Matthew. My highlight came from attending Cheltenham Town versus Exeter City. Mm. When 1-0 down, someone behind me, a Cheltenham fan, shouted, all we want is consistency. consistency, and you can't even give us that. 20 seconds later, Cheltenham equalised, and once the crowd had gone quiet, the same man shamelessly shouted, thanks!
That's good.
And then Matthew Jones's, I presume, brother, Callum Joins, has commented on this comment, saying, and then they went on to lose. That's four in a row, and if nothing else, consistent form.
There you are. one of my highlights was Falcao scoring a hat-trick for Monaco.
Yeah, that was nice.
Just nice to see him scoring.
Yeah.
With all those goals they're getting.
Injuries.
Bundled in off of his legs, and he didn't really have much to do with it. One was a penalty, but you know.
I've also got one more. I mean, Marcus, you've decided there that we've moved on from highlights.
No, I haven't. I've said I've got a highlight. I'm actually joining in. I'm contributing.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I'm beefing up your section.
Welcome aboard. We've got one more here from someone who I think wants to remain nameless, but he says, I'm a journalist at the BBC. And generally, for any survey or poll to be legitimately used in a news story, it needs to have 3,000 respondents.
Oh.
So your diehard survey from last week comfortably makes the cut and can be seen as a verifiably true fact. So Die Hard is definitely a Christmas film.
Mm. Yeah, fascinating.
Thank you very much. Mm.
Mr. Lineker.
We'll call him G. Lineker. It's Gary L.
There's crisps all over this email.
I've got one more. I've got one more, and I've got a personal one. Josh Helen, my highlight was me buying my brother-in-law the Football Ramble book for his birthday last week, as he was the person who introduced me to the show. His wife and best friend also bought him the book. He now has three copies.
Yay.
I wonder what I'm getting for Christmas. And my personal highlight is I saw someone alerted me to the fact, and I can't remember who it was, so apologies to them. I saw Benfica after their warm-up before their game at the weekend, through some sort of sponsorship deal, exiting the pitch after their warm-up through an Emirates check-in desk.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
They have done
the
stuff there.
With the staff
there.
And the check-in desk.
They kind of do that at Club FA at Wembley, don't they? They have kind of like...
but it's not on the pitch.
Women dressed up as kind of...
Oh, it's very airport loungy.
Airport loungy. Yeah.
There's no check-in desk.
But Benfica have done that before. They have...
I have been ejected under the airline rules. <also. laughs>
Yeah, that has happened at Benfica before. It's not the check-in desk, but I think... Emirates stewards going around the pitch, I think.
That's
I've seen
craziness.
That.
That's football has gone too far.
Mm.
Sometimes you think football's ridiculous and I love it, but sometimes it goes far too far.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. I've got two highlights.
Go on.
One is I actually went trampolining. Turns out it's as brilliant as I remember, guys. We were right about that. And the second one...
You went trampolining?
Yeah, of course I did.
Was it like an overhead kick trampolining thing that I did once?
There were dodgeball things there. So
what's this about?
Yeah, what's this, Marcus?
We were talking about trampolining a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, remember I said that it was... it was on Clapham Common in South London. There was like this big
on a trampoline, I hope.
There was a big football festival. Let me finish.
Football festival.
Oh, yeah.
What are your weekends like?
And I never created the festival. And
was it Kevin Keegan's soccer circus?
Don't want any part in your football festival.
Yeah.
And it was like a no, it wasn't. It was more like a bouncy castle, but it was springy.
Did you just run on a bouncy castle with
and
a ball?
I told you about
knocking
this.
Toddlers
I
left and
you
right.
I can't remember things. Blimey, sorry, listeners. I know you all remember, but I have to tell these three. And there was like a machine that would catapult or fire the balls into you, like a crossing machine.
Right,
and you could do spectacular.
That sounds brilliant.
Yeah,
you said that last time. You haven't changed your opinion.
I'm nothing if not consistent. Like Cheltenham Town.
Right.
So yeah, the actual football highlight was on Match of the Day. This was during the commentary of the Arsenal Stoke game, and there's a banner in at the Emirates that says Santa is a Gooner. And
John Motson.
John Motson.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
John Motson's reaction was absolutely amazing. He looked at that and said, "Some people really believe that."
Yeah, he did.
I heard that.
One of the most bizarre bits of commentary I've ever heard. The more I think about that, the less sense it makes. Why is he so annoyed about that?
I think, sadly, John Motson is a great ambassador for the game for many years. This is a slow, lingering death to his career. It really
quite,
is.
Quite. Some people really believe that Santa terrible. Supports Arsenal.
And he doesn't. What? I asked Santa one year. And he sent me a letter.
Baffling.
Mm, indeed. Any more for any more?
Nope.
Okay. Is that it?
Go and buy the book.
Oh, yeah.
I've got it in my hands. Consistently funny, well-informed and provocative. Jonathan Wilson. Not my words, Jonathan Wilson. Excellent. Esquire. Where are they now? Daily Telegraph. The football ramble manages the rare feat of being both funny and illuminating.
And Chappers, host the match of the day too. What does he say?
Consistently brilliant.
There's your consistency, like Cheltenham Town.
By the way, the Daily Express reviewed it and gave it 4 out of 5. There's not a single bit of xenophobia in it.
Oh,
yeah,
no, kidding.
And there's nothing about the royal family.
Nothing about the Diana fountain.
No, nothing.
Nothing about immigration.
Well, how we got 4 out of 5 stars? It's,
yeah,
must be all right.
When the Telegraph say illuminating as well, I think they mean that it burns very well.
Yeah. Right, let's leave it there.
Literally burning our bridges. Yeah. Figuratively burning our bridges.
But not our books.
No.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye from me.
This touchscreen can literally...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.